It's true, the Bible is the Word of God. It guides our life and shows us how to be made right with God. Now, you might not realize it, though, but the Bible does also contain some humor. I just wanted to share a few Bible jokes with you this morning. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? Ruthless. Ruth was his wife. Okay. All right, they're not going to get any better. Just warning you, okay? Actually, this one is better. At what time of day was Adam created? A little before Eve? I need the drum with the, yeah. This one some of you may have heard. Who was the greatest comedian of the Bible? Samson. He brought the house down. There you go. All joking aside, though, I did a little research in that, and you know, one of the concerns I think we have is that the Bible has lost its standing in many people's lives. But I found a 2018 Barna Research survey on the state of the Bible that suggested something different. This is what the Barna people concluded from their survey. They said the results show that despite shifting cultural trends, Americans still read the Word, and it remains a powerful, transformative tool in their life. And then Barna went on and they also presented seven specific findings. And the first is about half of Americans are Bible users. Now that, to me, sounded really encouraging. I was excited to see that, but then it was a little disappointing when you break it down. What the survey showed was actually that about 48% of Americans engage with the Bible in some manner at least three or four times a year. Now, I don't know that I'd really call that a Bible user, to use their words. One thing they did find, though, is that 27% of Americans read their Bible at least once a week. They also discovered that the Bible is more likely among boomers, city dwellers, and southerners. And as I looked at that, I was a little surprised that people in the cities are more likely to use their Bible than those living in rural areas. But as I thought about it, I thought, you know what, maybe us city folks just have a lot more to pray about. The use of technology to read the Bible has grown steadily. Now, this is not a surprise. Bible apps are quick and easy to use. You know, I know a lot of people that have that on their Bible, and the fact is that we don't memorize the order of the books of the Bible anymore because all we got to do is scroll down and go Luke, and we got it. The survey found, though, that still 90% of readers, Bible readers, rely on printed Bibles. And yet, over half of those people who read their Bible also have it on their phone or on a computer. Two-thirds of Americans are curious about the Bible. They said about 30% are strongly interested. And that just shows that God's Word will never stop being attractive. A little over half of Americans ponder how the Bible applies to their life. And as I read that, I wonder how many people actually apply the Bible to their life. See, I think there's a difference between pondering and actually putting it into action. Roughly 55% of people think that reading the Bible positively impacts spiritual growth. I wonder what the other 45% think. And then finally, nearly 60% of Americans believe the Bible has transformed their life. And the truth is, the Bible is the Word of God. And God uses His Word to change lives. But we have to read it. Now, this past week here at Bethesda, we actually sent out our own very unscientific little Bible survey. And two of the three survey questions are found on your message outline, but I've got a result for two of the three questions, and we're going to talk about the third one later. The first question we asked was this: how many days do you read your Bible each week? In other words, how many days each week do you read at least one scripture passage? And what our respondents said is 3% don't read the Bible, 30% read the Bible once or twice a week, 28% read the Bible 3 to 5 days a week, and 39% of the people that responded to this survey open up their Bible at least 6 or 7 times each week. And so I'm glad to say Bethesda beat the national average for Bible reading. And then the next question, another question we asked is the Bible the inspired word of God? And in the survey it said, without error in all of its original writings, to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promised. And 97% of the people responded said yes. And nobody said no, and we had 3% that were not sure. And I would just say, if you're not sure what to think of the Bible, I really pray that you would be open-minded concerning its truth. And today's message, I think, will help you. And so in case you haven't figured it out, we're going to talk about the Bible today. Author Dan Spader, of the material we're using in this Like Jesus series, wrote this. He said, Jesus held the Bible in highest esteem. 80 times in the gospel, Jesus quoted from more than 70 chapters from 24 Old Testament books. The word was center stage in Jesus' life and his ministry. And I would just say, if the Bible was that important to Jesus, it makes sense that it should also be our guide to truth and to life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is true. It's sufficient. It contains the way to salvation. It teaches, it equips, it corrects us. And we thank you for giving us your word. But we confess that we don't read the Bible as much as we should. We make excuses. We say it's just too hard to read. I can't understand it. Or that it doesn't apply to my life. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes. Help us to understand your word. Show us how it applies to our lives every single day. May your Holy Spirit be with us and guide us as we read the Bible. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few minutes ago, we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And in those verses, the Apostle Paul was writing about the power of Scripture. Paul was instructing his young protege, Timothy. Timothy, he was someone he was discipling. And in the first words of our passage, Paul encouraged Timothy to remain faithful to everything that he'd been taught. And what Timothy had been taught came out of the Holy Scriptures, what we call the Bible. And Paul pointed out that God's words provided wisdom necessary to receive salvation. In other words, to be saved, to be made right with God. And then in verses 16 and 17, Paul actually revealed, I think, 3 statements about God's words for our life. They speak to the Bible's truth, and they speak to its necessity in our lives. And the first thing we note is that God's words for life teach truth and expose lies. Paul wrote this, he said, all Scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. The ESV Bible translation says it, the first part this way, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And the Greek word translated as inspired by God or breathed out by God is theopneustos. And theo is the word for God, and pneustos, we get the word pneumatic from it, is the word for breath. And so Scripture is literally God breathed. And when Paul spoke about this, he said that all Scripture is God breathed. And he was talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the first letter to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 2, Paul wrote this. He said, and we also thank God constantly for this, that you received the word of God, which you heard from us. And what Paul was saying there is, you know that message that I've been sharing with you about Jesus? I've been sharing with you the word of God. And then in 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16, Peter wrote this. He said, Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom that was given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. And he went on and he said, there are some things in those letters that are hard to understand. which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Now, as you look at part of that passage there, there's a few things to catch in Peter's words. First, and this is actually a little bit off topic, but I think you'll appreciate it. Peter said there are some things in Paul's letters that are hard to understand. And if you've ever read one of Paul's letters, you were concerned perhaps that you didn't understand everything. Well, guess what? Peter said some of his writing was hard to understand as well. And I find that comforting. But more importantly, Peter indicated that Paul's words were scripture. The bottom there, he wrote, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. And Peter was saying that Paul's letters to those churches are scripture, just like the other books of the Old Testament. And the point is this collection here, this collection of 66 books, the entire Bible, was breathed out by God. And because this Bible is God's word, we trust it to expose lies. Peter wrote that some twist scripture. They don't get it right. They make scripture fit their beliefs. We do that when we believe that truth can be relative. You've probably all heard somebody say, well, that's true for you, but, and then they go on to give their own version of the truth. We can also twist scripture by taking an a la carte approach to the Bible. In other words, we pick a little bit of this, we choose a little bit of this. If there's something in the Bible that we don't like, well, we just ignore that part. And over time, if we keep doing this, we're able to rationalize that God didn't really mean what he said in that passage. And that's dangerous because we fall prey to lies. See, the Bible is either true or it's not true. There's no such thing as kind of taking like a quarter order of the Bible. You have to believe the whole thing. You know, some of the specific lies the Bible addresses are real prominent today, including denying the sanctity of human life from conception. We have a twisted view of sexuality. The Bible makes it clear that we are created male and female. Our culture has a confused view of marriage. Biblical marriage, according to the Bible, is between a man and a woman. People wrongly think that they don't need Jesus. Some believe that there are many, many paths to heaven. And that's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And that's true. And the Bible teaches truth. In our little Bethesda survey, we asked people to tell us how the Bible impacts their life. And one person wrote this. They said, the Bible reminds me of how small I am, how great God is, and how much I need him. And that's true. Psalm 96 states, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Another psalm reads, from where does my help come? And he answers his own question. He says, my help comes from the Lord. Isaiah shared the words of God. He said, God said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's all to say God is God and you and I are not, and we need the Lord. Some other people responded to our survey by saying things like, the Bible reminds me that God is in control. Paul told the church at Ephesus that God made all things work according to his plan. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this. He said, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, then we'll plan to do this or that or whatever. The Bible reassures me that God's love for me is endless, said another person. You know, many of the Psalms speak of the steadfast love of God. Paul wrote in Romans that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Another wrote that the Bible reminds me of all God has done for me. Jesus sent his son to die for us. The apostle Paul wrote, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible teaches us every one of us has value. It says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. One other person wrote, the Bible gives me reassurance that I'm forgiven for my mistakes. The Bible states that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far we are removed from our sins. And some of you sitting here this morning wrote those words in our survey, and they all remind us that the Bible teaches truth. And that truth blesses us. Second, God's word for life also correct errors and train righteousness. You know, as Bible-believing Christians, we don't have a problem with what the Bible says about the sanctity of life or marriage and Jesus, but that doesn't mean that every single one of us, myself included, doesn't have errors in the way that we think. Paul wrote, Scripture corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And what that means is the Bible can make us uncomfortable. And typically that happens when the Bible speaks on things like lust, or anger, or loving our enemies, or forgiveness, or giving to the poor, or retaliation. And when we read those words, we can either deny they are true, or we are convicted. The Bible convicts us. And we realize that, you know what? I've got issues. I rebel against God. I don't love other people and God like I should. Paul summarized it in a famous passage in Romans 3:23. He said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Period. Every one of us falls short. We are all sinners. But even though we get that, you know, you hear that a lot of times on Sunday mornings, but don't we still all try to just kind of justify our sins? Well, we say, you know, God made me that way. I can't help it. Or we deny that our sins are sins, really sins at all. Or we think maybe, you know what, my sins aren't as bad as his sins. And the fact is our thinking's an error. It needs correction. Even when we know the right thing to do, we don't always do it. It's good to know that Paul wrote this in Romans 7:21. He said, "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." And I say, amen. A few verses later, Paul continued. He said, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was saying we're miserable people. But there's a solution to our miserableness, and that solution is Jesus. He loves us no matter what we've done. He forgives us. He makes us right with God, and Jesus covers us with his righteousness. And this is really awesome because it's a beautiful picture. When God looks down at you or me, he doesn't see our miserableness. He doesn't see our sin. What he sees is Jesus' righteousness, his goodness, his obedience, covering over us. As one of the people who took our survey stated, he said, "The Bible points us to Christ. We see how Jesus lived. We are to model our life after his. The Holy Spirit will help us." And you know what? Just like Paul, we're going to fall short. But we receive grace. We're forgiven. We have value. God can use us. He can use everyone in this room to further his kingdom. We can be a hero of the faith like Paul. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, like I often think, you know, I need to enroll in some righteousness training 101. Well, guess what? We've already got the guidebook. This is the manual for righteous living. I want to share just a few more Bethesda survey responses pertaining how the Bible helps us live. This is what some of you said. "The Bible comforts me and helps me focus on my day. It gives me faith for my daily living. The Bible makes me feel closer to God. It keeps me connected to God. It gives me the wisdom and the support I need." And then this last one, "There are verses that I've read several times, but then that same verse read again brings a whole new light, peace, and understanding into the life of Jesus." And I think all those statements make it clear the Bible does train us for life. It teaches us how to live the right way. And then finally, as the Bible teaches right, the Bible fully equips us for God works. Paul said, God uses Scripture to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And I would say that when we do it, you belong to Jesus and you do a good work, that's a God work. Because we become light in darkness. People see our good works. Even if they don't agree with us, they praise God. They see something different in us. We show people Jesus Christ, and hearts can be changed. The May 2019 edition of Christianity Today magazine shared the testimony of a guy named Casey Diaz. And Casey was a gang leader. And in his own words, he said that he invaded homes, he broke into cars, he ransacked convenience stores, and he stabbed rival gang members. Well, eventually Casey was caught, and he was imprisoned. And in jail, he actually became a leader of one of the prison gangs. He eventually ended up in solitary confinement, and Casey said he nearly went crazy in solitary. But then a Christian woman, stopped by his cell, and they had a sharp conversation, and she told Casey that she was going to pray for him, and she said to him, she said, Jesus is going to use you. And Casey said, I didn't buy it. But this woman, she kept coming back and kept coming back. And about a year later, Casey actually had a vision. And in that vision, he saw his entire life played out before him, all the bad, horrible things that he had done. And then he said, I saw a bearded man. And this bearded man was carrying a cross. And he was crucified on that cross. And he told me, he said, I'm doing this for you. And Casey said, that is when he said it was okay. Because prisoners then beat Casey because of his faith. He said it was okay because he was no longer. Prisoners then beat Casey because of his faith. He said it was okay because he was no longer a gang member. Beat Casey because of his faith. He said it was okay because he was no longer a gang member. Because of his faith. He said it was okay because he was no longer a gang member. Case of his faith. He said it was okay. Because he was no longer a gang member. Casey had faith. He said it was okay because he was no longer a gang member. Casey had a new call. He said it was okay because he was no longer a gang member. Casey had a new calling. He said it was okay because he was no longer a gang member. Casey had a new calling. He said it was okay because he was no longer a gang member. Casey had a new calling. Telling okay. Because he was no longer a gang member, Casey had a new calling, telling other inmates about Jesus Christ. And the article ends by saying that Casey is out of prison. He now lives in Los Angeles. He actually wrote a book about his transformation from a life of violence to a new life in Christ. He owns a sign-making business, and he actually serves as a part-time pastor. Jesus changed Casey's life. And all those hours of reading the Bible equipped Casey. God will use his word to teach us truth, to train us in righteous living, and to fully equip us for God's works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you're always with us. We thank you that you sent your Son to reconcile us to you and to give us the promise of eternal life. And Father, we hear stories about, similar to this Casey, people whose lives have been turned around. And we realize there are no lost causes.